Today's daf is Shavuos daf Lamed Ches. We are holding on daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. We are at Rav Papa, Amar Rav Papa. What we were discussing right before this, we were discussing the concept of Shavuos HaPikadon and what kinds of things a person has to deny having in order to be chayav Shavuos HaPikadon. And the last thing we said was that one of the last things we said was that we darshan the pasuk where the pasuk talks about Shavuos HaPikadon. It has various phrases, some that are very general, the kichesh ba'amisa, right, omi and some that are very specific. So we said it's machlokas. How to darshan that pasuk? Is it darshan as a klal or prato klal, or is it darshan as a riboy miyut riboy? If you darshan as a klal or prato klal, so we said ma prat mefurish davra metaltel the gufa mamon. It needs to be something that's both movable and gufa mamon, and is inherently valuable, as opposed to what? What's not movable? So it's not movable is karka, and avadim are like karka, so they would be excluded from Shavuos HaPikadon. And what's not gufa mamon? Shtaros are not gufa mamon, right? Rashi says mi et shtaros she'in gufa mamon she'inon elo l'raya shebehen. Why are they not gufa mamon? Because their entire value is in the raya that they have, that they serve as a raya, that somebody owes somebody else money, but they themselves are not inherently valuable. It's just a piece of paper with some writing on it, so its value is not inherent. Its value is only in the fact that it could serve as a raya, right? So that was the discussion about Shavuos HaPikadon. Just happens to be over here. Tosos is an interesting comment of Tosos. Miet Shtaros says that if you deny having somebody else's shtaros, so that's not going to be included in Shavuos HaPikadon. Says Tosos, afilu mandalo da'in dina de garmi. But goes Olkami, says, wait a second. We have an entire sugya called garmi. There's a sugya in Shas about grama benizikin, about about obviously the flip side of grama is direct hezek. So there's direct hezek where you're definitely chayiv. Grama, you're not chayiv. And then in the middle, there's garmi, something that's a little more direct than grama, but not quite as direct as direct hezek. So, for instance, if I'm Soref Shtarosov Shel Chavero, someone else has a shtar that says that he's owed money, and I go and I destroy that shtar. So do I have to pay him for the money that's in that shtar? So that's garmi, that's indirect hezek. I didn't cause him the hezek directly by going and ruining his money, but I took a shtar that he was going to be able to collect the money with. So it says Tosos, even if you're not da'in dina de garmi, meaning even if you think that garmi is not considered direct enough to be chayav for, bagozel kamu potash sorif shtaros of shel chavero, and therefore you hold that if someone burns his friend's shtaros, that he's going to be potter. But still, if you have somebody else's shtar, you have a chiv to return that person's shtar. You can't say, oh, since it's only garmi, if I would destroy it, and I'd be putter, if I would destroy it, therefore I don't have to give you back your shtar. No, of course you have to give him back his shtar if you still have it. So havamina, therefore, there's a havamina to say, d'chi kofar chayiv, that if you're kofar and shtaros, you're chayiv. Meaning, because you would say that since I've the chiv of Shavuos HaPikadon is a function of my chiv to give it back to him, it's not a function of whether I'm chayiv if I destroy it. But in the maskan of the Gemara, that as we read it yesterday, that we said that no, that they're only arguing regarding hashava. When a guy says hareshel chalafanecha, they're not arguing about shvua kasha mashayich lemutei shtaros. So if you're going to say they're arguing about hashava, so then why would we exclude shtaros? Ha'afilu sarfan pater. Even if you would burn the shtaros, you'd be pater. So of course, kolshkei nishtanu. So of course, if you still have the shtaros and they just changed, so from based on the maskana, you have to say that we're assuming like Rav Meir who is da'in dina d'garmi. Inami ki patrinun hainu ki kalinu ba'asrayhu aval natlan v'sarfan chayiv. Even the one who's not da'in dina d'garmi would say if you take a match and light a match and then burn the shtar wherever it is, that's where you're not going to be chayiv. But a tremendous chiddush. But even the one that says shtaros of shel chaveru would say if you pick up the shtar and then burn it, then you are going to be chayiv. That's not called garmi anymore. That's a phenomenal chiddush. One would have thought, what difference does it make if you pick it up or if you burn it in place? No, if you burn it in place, you never even dealt with it. You never touched it. So since you never moved it, you're not going to be chayiv. But once you pick it up and you take it, you are going to be chayiv. This is a very, very important topic, this issue of exactly how we deal with shtaros. There's a, Rav Zilberstein raises the shaila. Someone asked him, he said that a person had a shtar that an IOU that was written by a very important Rosh Yeshiva or Hasidic Rebbe or something prior to the Holocaust. Now the person who had the IOU, it's like having a check signed by Babe Ruth. You don't cash the check. It's a collector's item. So it's more valuable as a collector's item than it is as a shtar. So he lent it to it. So now years later, the year 2010, the guy goes and he wants to he shows his friend, look what a chashuva thing I have. I have something signed by whatever name the Rebbe, right? And you know it's an IOU signed by. Isn't this an amazing collector's item? The friend says, can I borrow it for a little bit? The friend borrows it and destroys it. So it said that he owed him whatever $5. You know that the Rebbe owed $5. If you want to go to the Rebbe's family and be tovei the $5, you have a shtar. So what does he owe him for destroying the shtar? Does he owe him nothing because it's garmi and lo dan din de garmi? Does he owe him $5 because that's what? Or does he owe him the actual value of what it's worth as a collector's item? So he points out the Chassam Sofer's medayik in Rashi over here. The Rashi says by the case of shtar, he says mi et shtaros she'ein gufan mamon she'einon ela l'raya shebehen, that shtar is only for the purpose of the raya shebehen. So frektach sam sofer in yardeya simin kuf lamedalid. Kasha, mai pasakta sheinu shava klum. Who says it's not worth anything? V'ulai haniyar shava pruta. Maybe the paper's worth something. Oda kosev al tashel zav mayikal demeimer kibigitin. What do you mean it's not worth anything? What if you write on a plate of gold? So you're going to tell me that it's not worth anything? That it's only valuable in terms of the raya? The paper itself is valuable if it's made out of gold. So he says, "Ukvari isi kama pam shtaris chayvus al tasin lechoshes." Some sort of says, "I've seen many times people write shtaris chayvus on copper. That's something very kufan mamon. That's kufan mamon." So he says, "Avol kavanas Rashi dal kolponim kivin sha'asui l'raya shabo sheshava harbe ma'od yoser." Miguf Ashtar, the way the Chassam Sofer understands Rashi is that even though, of course, a shtar can be worth something, but since its primary value is in the money that's written out in the shtar that you can collect with the koach of that shtar, afilu yemuzav, even if the shtar is made out of gold, the raya element is worth more, belis safek, mimele eno omed ha'tachazav l'havsed raya, therefore this gold is not omed to be used as gold. So it turns out the fact that it's gufa mamon and that it has any value is ignored because the greatest value of the shtar is to use it to collect the money with. So says Rav Zilberstein, in the case of the guy who has the shtar from before the Holocaust, it appears obvious that its primary value is not the $5 that the Rebbe wrote as the IOU. The primary value is as a collector's item. So as such, he says, if a person destroys it, he has to pay it as a collector's item. Right? The Chassam Sofer's whole shita is that even if a shtar has value, it's only because that value is dwarfed by the value of the chov in the shtar. But if it's not, if the chov in the shtar is relatively valueless as compared to the shtar itself, so then the shtar itself is the primary value, and that's what he would have to pay. Okay, we are holding 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines before the end of the page in Laman Zayin and Beis. Amar Rav Papa Mishmei Durava Masnisa Nami Deka. Our Mishnah is also meduyik like Rabbi Yochanan that there is no chiyuv karban shvua on karka, that if a person takes shvua sepikadon on karka, there's no chiyuv karban shvua. Dikatani, because the Mishnah says ganafta sharivu amar lo ganafti. You say you stole my shor, the other guy says I never stole it. Mashbiachani, I hereby make you take a shvua amar amein chayuv. So he's going to be chayuv in that case. Why doesn't it say you stole my eved? Why does it say you stole my shor dafka? So my time, oh, so isn't that a riot? It's because the reason it doesn't say eved is because an eved is like karka, and you're not going to be chayiv a korban on kfiras shibut karkos. So I'm going to pop Mishmei Durava Ema Seifa, but he says you read right through the Mishnah. Seifa says Zaklal. Any time the payment is something that you would pay based on your own admission, meaning it's a mammon payment rather than a knas payment, so then you're going to be chayiv. And ein mishalim al piatzmo, if it's the kind of payment that you would pay, that you would not pay based on your own admission, because modu b'knas pater, so it's a knas kind of payment, you're pater. So zeh klal asuyeh mai. What is zeh klal coming to include? Lav la'asuyeh g'naftah savdi. Isn't the zeh klal adding a new case that we didn't have previously in the Mishnah? So what's it coming to include that you are chayiv in? A case of g'naftah savdi. So you see that in the case of g'naftah savdi, you taka are chayiv. El mehel lak el mashmina. So from the Mishnah, you have opposite mashmos. The Reisha sounds that g'naftah savdi is excluded, maybe therefore implying that karka is excluded from Shavuos HaPikadon, but the Seifa implies that the g'naftah savdi is included in Shavuos HaPikadon, and therefore karka would be included in Shavuos HaPikadon. So we can't really get anything from our Mishnah. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Shavuos HaPikadon ketzah ten libikadon sheyesh libiyadcha. So the Mishnah said, how does Shavuos HaPikadon work? Someone says ten libikadon sheyesh libiyadcha. So Tana, and we went through all these various cases of the Mishnah where he asks for different things. He says, give me the pikadon shumasiyad geza laveda, all the different things, right? So we were discussing. So the Mishnah discussed how many shavuos he's chayiv if he denies or swears to not have all these different things. So Tanu Rabbanan, kol aleinu chayiv ala achas. If he takes it as one general shvua, I don't have anything of yours. Meaning the guy is asking him for five different things. I don't have anything. I swear I don't have anything of yours. So then he's only going to be chayiv once. Pirate chayiv al klachas v'achas. But if he starts specifying, I don't have this, or that, or the other thing, and he swears for each one, he's going to be chayiv for each one. Divrei Meir, that's from Meir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Shvua lo lecha, vilo lecha, vilo lecha, chayiv al klachas v'achas. If a person takes a shvua that I don't have anything of yours, and I don't have anything of yours, meaning this is going on the case where you have several people coming and claiming from him. Several people coming and claiming that he has a pikadon. So again, so let's go back. So Rameir therefore says, if he takes one general shvua to all of them, I don't have anything of any of yours. So then he's only going to be chayiv one. If he takes a separate shvua, he specifies each of the individuals to whom he's taking a shvua in his shvua, then he's going to be chayiv for each and every one. Rabbi Yehuda says, if he says shvua lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, chayiv al kalachas v'achas. If he says a shvua, not to you, and not to you, and not to you, so he's going to be chayiv for each and every one. Sounds a lot like Rabbi Meir, no? That he's identifying each and every one, then he's going to be chayiv on each and every one. But if he doesn't identify each and every one, he's not going to be chayiv on each and every one. So exactly what the machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the discussion in our Gemara in a couple of lines from now. But right now it's somewhat difficult. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, lo lecha v'lo lecha v'lo lecha shvua chayiv al kalachas v'achas. If you just say Lashem Shvua at the beginning, and then you start saying Lalacha, 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 so then you're only going to be chayiv once. But if you have Shvua, the Lashem Shvua at the end, so then that's going to be, it's going to wrap up everything you said previously, and therefore the Lashem Shvua is going to go on each of the Lalachas, but it's got to be at the end. Pashup Shad of the Gemara is, you don't have to say the word Shvua until the end. The Ritva quotes from Yerushalmi, though, that no, what Rabbi Eliezer is saying is that you need Shvua both at the beginning and at the end. That the Lashon Shvua needs to be even at the end, but doesn't need to be said. Of course, it has to be at the beginning as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ad Shiomer Shvua L'Kalachas V'Achas. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not called a separate Shvua for each and every one unless you use a separate Lashon Shvua when you speak to each and every person. Shvua L'Lecha, Shvua L'Lecha, Shvua L'Lecha. It can't just be one statement of Shvua at the beginning and one statement of Shvua at the end. That would not work. So good, so now we have to try to figure out the first two shitos. So what exactly are Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda arguing about? So two shitos in Amoraim as to what this machlokas tanaim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, is. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Klalo shel Rabbi Meir, prato shel Rabbi Yehuda. Klalo shel Rabbi Yehuda, prato shel Rabbi Meir. Very direct and simple understanding, Shmuel says, is that what they're arguing about is the difference between saying lalacha, 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 and saying lalacha vi lalacha, v'lolecha. One of those cases is a prat, is considered to be a separate shvua for each one, and one for each person that you're swearing to, and one is considered a klal, just one general shvua. which is the prat, which is the klal, that's what they're arguing about. So Rabbi Meir holds, when you say vilolcha, that's putting it all in one big picture. It's a vava chibur that puts everything together, and therefore it's just one klal, it's one basic shvuah. And if you say lolcha, so those are separate entities. That's Rabbi Meir shita. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just the opposite. Lolcha is klal. That's a lashon shvuah, goes in everything. Vilolcha, it's like saying a shvuah lolcha. Vilolcha is like saying and a shvuah lolcha. Vilolcha is and a shvuah lolcha, meaning that that's more of a prat. That according to Rabbi Yehuda is more specific. So Shmuel shita is that they just reverse each other's opinions. Whether lolcha is more of the lashon of klal or vilolcha is more of the lashon of klal versus prat, that's the machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So that's the sheet of Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan would say no, they're not holding the opposite of each other. Hakol modim bevilolcha shu prat. Everyone agrees when you say vilolcha that these are separate shmuels that you're going to be chayav for each and every one. That's considered to be specifying to each and every individual. No one disagrees about that. Lo nechluku ela belolcha. The only case where you have a machlokas is where it's lolcha, where you say lolcha without the vav. Shameir am a prat. Rameir will say, still, that's considered a separate shvua to each individual. From Yehuda or klal, and Rabbi Yehuda would say that's a klal. So they only argue, meaning if you were to make a chart of four boxes of, right, lolcha, vilolcha, according to Rameir and according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, so there's only, right, so it would turn out that according to Shmuel, they're arguing in both cases, both the case of lolcha and the case of vilolcha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, they're only arguing in one case. They're only arguing in the case of lolcha, not the case of vilolcha. Ve'ezu klal shel Rabbi Meir. So it turns out Rabbi Yochanan's view of Rabbi Meir seems that there's no klal. Because no matter what you say, whether it's lolcha or vilolcha, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Meir, it's always considered to be a separate shvuah for each and every individual. So is there ever a case that you're only going to be chayav once? One shvuah? Yeah, when he says shvuah she'in lachem biyadi. He doesn't say lecha at all. He just says, ein lachem, as a group. I take one shvuah that no, I don't know any of you. So since he just says you in the plural without getting into specifics, you, and you, so then that's going to be the case of klal and lechara. Obviously, everyone would agree that that would be called klal. Even Rav Meir would agree that that would be called klal. Good, so that's the machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan as to what exactly Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about. So, frankly, Gemara b'Maika Miflugi, what are Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan arguing about? Where do they get the idea? Why is it that Rabbi Yochanan insists that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing in both cases, and they all agree about the case of vilolcha, and why is it that Shmuel insists that they are arguing in both the case of lolcha and vilolcha? So Shmuel daik mi brisa, Rabbi Yochanan daik mi masnisin. Shmuel read the brisa and made his diuk. Rabbi Yochanan read the Mishnah and made his diuk. Shmuel diuk mi brisa. Shmuel read the following brisa. Mitakama Rabbi Yehuda vilolcha. Pratahavi, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that when you say Shvua, right, the Brisa we had at the top of the page over here, the Tanur Rabbanan that we had right at the top of the page, that Rabbi Yehuda Shita was that when you say Vilolcha, that's a Prat. That's more of a Prati. So what do you see from that? Milchal Deshaim the Rameir, Damar Kalahavi. Why would Rabbi Yehuda make the point that that's considered a Prat if he had not heard that Rameir disagrees with that? The Rameir says, no, that that's considered a Klal. Now, so that's Shmuel says, must be, Rabbi Meir does consider that a klal. V'armle Rabbi Yehuda, prat avi. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, v'lolcha is not a klal, it's a prat. It's specific shmuel to each and every one. So that's the direct diuk of Shmuel. That's why he wants to say that Rabbi Meir is not moda in v'lolcha, that it's also a prat. Rabbi Meir disagrees on v'lolcha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan would say, travayu, Rabbi Meir prat avi. No, both lolcha and vilolcha, according to Rabbi Meir, is prat. Va'amrle Rabbi Yehuda, bivilolcha modinalach. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, in the case of vilolcha, I agree. I think you're right that it's a prat. But vilolcha paligna alach. But you know where I disagree? I disagree on lolcha. So the that's how Rabbi Yochanan understands the Braisa. Ushmuel, and Shmuel would say, Shmuel says, that's no way to argue. Meaning, if you look at the words of the Braisa, what's the only case Rabbi Yehuda mentions? He does not mention both the case of Lolucha Lolucha and the case of Lolucha Vilolucha. He only mentions the case of Lolucha Vilolucha. So think about it for a second. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the only case Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda actually argue about isn't even mentioned in the Braisa. Right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the only case to argue about is Lolucha Lolucha Lolucha. That's not even mentioned in the Braisa. So says Shmuel, come on, if you're going to argue, don't highlight the case that you agree on, highlight the case that you argue on. So yeah, you want to make a deal. I agree with you on this case, but therefore that implies that I disagree on another case. That's no way to disagree. If you want to disagree, say what you really disagree about. Don't say what you're moda about. So that's how Shmuel is medayik from the Braisa, that it's got to be that they disagree about both cases, both the case of Lolucha and the case of Vilolucha. Rabbi Yochanan daik miasnisa, and Rabbi Yochanan is medayik from the Mishnah, midkamar, from the fact that the Mishnah says, midkamar, Rameir, from the fact that Rameir says, Rameir never said in the Mishnah, it's Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah is Rameir, but it's really based on the fact that our Stam Mishnah says, Rashi points it out, midkamar, Rameir, Shvosh, from the fact that it says that the Mishnah says that when you take a general shuv ein lachem, that's a klal mechlal, that therefore implies develo lacha pratahavi, that anything short of saying lo lachem is a prat in Rav Meir's view. Because if you hold even velo lecha velo lecha is a klal, admash melon shvua shein lachem biyadi nishmayin shvua lo lecha velo lecha velo lecha kol shkein shvua shein lachem biyadi. When the Mishnah wants to teach me a case where you're only chayav for one shvua, why does it give me the lesser chiddush? Which is a greater chiddush, that when I say shvua lo lechem to all you guys that it's only one, or when I say shvua lo lecha velo lecha velo lecha? Obviously, the latter is a much greater chiddush. So why, if it were true that both of those cases were in fact klal according to Rav Meir, why would he only talk about the former and not the latter case? Ushmul Amar, and Shmuel will say, Kala Amar v'lo lecha, kamar shvua shein lechem biyadi dami. Shmuel says, no, it's obvious that saying v'lo lecha is the same exact thing as saying lechem, and therefore it's not one is not a greater chiddush than the other; they're both the same exact thing, and that's what the Mishnah is trying to highlight. Okay. Tanan. So let's try to bring rayas now. What does the Mishnah say? It says lo lecha v'lo lecha v'lo lecha. Mishnah says lo lecha v'lo lecha, right? It says with the vav. And we're goris of vav in the Mishnah. So it sounds like the Mishnah again is supposed to be the sheet of Rameir. So it sounds like in that case it's prata avi, that even with a vav, it's prata. That's a raya to Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel. So tani lo lecha. Okay, you have to take out the vavs from the Mishnah in order for it to work. Okay. Tashma, another raya from the Mishnah. Tainli pikadon utshumasyad ugezel ve'aveda. Right? So it keeps on saying vavs. So in order to be chayv separately. So tni tshumasyad gezel aveda. Okay, gezel aveda without the vavs. You got to take out the vavs in order to make it work again. Tashma, another raya. Tainli chitin usaor in vikosmin. It says give me chitin visaor vikosmin over and over again with the vavs. Tni saor in kusmin. Okay, again, take out the vavs. So says the Gemara, okay, this is getting a little tired, this act. We keep on taking out the vavs, every single line of the Mishnah. The Haytana Kalachi Shabbish Tani Vazil. Come on, the whole Mishnah is a mistake. The whole Mishnah is written backwards. I mean, how do you read such a Mishnah? You have to take away all the vavs. Elohamani Rebihi. So rather, we have to say that the Mishnah is going like Rebbe. Damar Loshna Kazayis Kazayis Loshna Kazayis U Kazayis Pratahavi. The Mishnah is going, is not, as we assume, to be going with the Shita of Rebbe Meir. Rather, it's going with the Shita of Rabbi, that it doesn't make a difference whether you say Kazayis, Kazayis, or Kazayis, or Kazayis. Either way, it's considered Pratavi. It's considered to be specific, separate statements. Tashma, fourth Raya, Mididei, from Rameir himself. Rameir Omer, Afilu Chita Usa'or Vikosemes, Chayev Al Kalachas Va'achas. Rameir says, you say Chita Usa'or Vikosemes, you chayev in each and every one. So you see that Rameir says, with the Vavs, the Velolachas are Prat. Now, according to Shmuel, Rameir would hold that with the vavs it's a klal. So tni chita sa'ara kosemes. So you have to say chita sa'ara kosemes without the vavs. My afilu. But then what's the big afilu? That even if you say it like this, you're chayiv in each and every one. Of course, if you say it separately, chita sa'ara kosemes, according to Rameir, that's considered prat. So amravacha breid ravika, afilu chita b'chal chitin u'sa'ara b'chal sa'ara v'kosemes b'chal kosmin. No, the chiddush is not about the language you employ with the vavs or not vavs. Are you combining the different meanings? Or anything. No, what the Chiddush conditions basically is that you, someone says you owe me chitin, and you say I swear I don't have, or someone says you owe me chita, you owe me chita, and you say I swear I don't owe you chitin. So should you say that, oh, he swore he didn't owe you chitin, but maybe chita he actually does owe you? So right in the singular chita he actually does owe you. So that's what it comes to tell you, that no, even if you say chita b'chal chitin, sar b'chal son, kosam is b'chal kosmin, still that's considered something that you can be chayiv shvus ha-pikadon for. Fine, you can be chayiv karban. So tein li pikadon sumsiad gezel v'aveda sheish li biyadcha. The tovea comes and says, give me these different items that you have of mine in my hand. So says the Gemara, tein li chitin u'sa'orin. Am Rabbi Yochanan pruta mikula mitzarefes. That if, meaning that you're only chayiv shvus ha-pikadon if you deny having something that's at least worth a shava pruta. Why? Because you're only chayiv shvus ha-pikadon on things that you're chayiv to be meshiv. Now, that you'd be chayiv if you aren't meshiv. Now, obviously, you're not allowed to steal anything. You're not allowed to steal even less than a shava pruta. But the chiyuv hashava is only on something that's a shava pruta. What if the guy claims I have five different things of his, but each of the items alone, individually, are less than a shava pruta? Altogether, they're more than a shava pruta. So Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, pruta mikula mitztarefes, they're all mitztarif to each other to make one big shava pruta. Pligabar Ravach of Ravina. Chadamar prati mechayev akloli lo mechayev, vechadamar akloli nami mechayev. Now there's just a separate discussion. When I take a shvua, I don't owe you anything. Not chitin, not tzorin, not kusmin. So how many shvuas did I just violate if I'm lying? Did I violate three because I said chitin, tzorin, kusmin? Or did I violate four because I said I don't owe you anything? That's one. Chitin, tzorin, kusmin. Are you chayiv for the klal when you then go and give the pratim also? Are you chayiv separately for the klal when you give the pratim also? That's the machlokas over here. Ravach and Ravina. One of them says, a pratim chayiv, a klal ilo mechayiv. No, once you specify, you're only chayiv for the pratim, not for the general statement of shavua. V'chalam raklali nami mechayiv. And one says, no, you're chayiv for the general statement as well. V'atani rabichia harei kan chamesh esrei chataos. But wait a second. The Mishnah gave a case of five people coming after me and claiming that I owe them something, right? Chamisha tovenoso, and each one claims that I owe them chitin sa'orin v'kusmin. So what do? I take a shvua? No, I don't owe you anything. Not chitin, not sa'orin, not kusmin. So how many shvuas did I violate amongst the five people? So 5 times 3 is 15, 5 times 4 is 20. If you hold that I'm chayiv for the klal also, it should be 20. If you hold them chayiv for the prat, it's only 15. So what does Rabbi Chiya say? Harei kan chamesh esrei chataos. That's 15 chataos, v'imisa esrim havyan. But if you hold that you're chayiv for the klal also, it shouldn't be 15, it should be 20. So that's a raya that you're only chayiv for the prati. So it says Gemara, haitana de prati kachashiv, de klali lo kachashiv. No, maybe that taina that taught that you're only chayiv, that you're chayiv 15 was only listing the prati, was only talking about the prati, wasn't talking about the klali. But ein achinami, you're chayiv for the klali as well. Says the Gemara v'atani Rabbi Chiya arei kanes from chataos. There's another statement Rabbi Chiya that says you're chayiv 20. So isn't that a raya the other way? That's a raya that you're chayiv for the klali as well. Now that might not be going on the case of the five people claiming something from claiming chitin sar nukusman from you. It could be that they're claiming in that case five people claiming pikadon sumasiad gezel va'aveda, which is four different things. So then your shvua would be, I don't owe you anything, not a gezel, not sumasiad, not gezel, not a pikadon, not sumasiad, not gezel, not aveda. So if you hold klali, you should be chayiv 25 over there. If you hold only prati, then you chayiv only 20. So Rabbi Chiya saying that you chayiv 20 might be going on that case, and it could be that you only have prati. Now, why does it say you chayiv chataos? For we said the aleph base of perek shvus ha-pikadon is that for shvus ha-pikadon it's an asham. It's not a chatas. So it also points out, Ari Kantesvav Chataos, Gabi Shua Seidus Misniyat, Gabi Kadon Avadei Lememar Hashemos, that this statement of Rabbi Chiya, this brisa that we're quoting right now, has to have been a brisa about Shvua Seidus, because it talks about Chataos, but we're just, the rules in this context are going to be the same. What's called a separate Shvua, and what's called one basic Shvua, it's not going to make a difference whether it's Shvua, whether we're talking about Shvua Seidus or Shvua Sepikadon. Right? So the rules obviously are going to carry over from one to the other, but just based on the word chatas, you see that the initial context of that brisa had to be about shvus eidos. Boy, mei rav mei rav Nachman, hayu chamisha tovin osavam lo tein lanu pikadon shumisiyad gezel aveda sheish lan biyadcha. Five people come after you and say, "Give us the pikadon shumisiyad gezel and aveda that you have of ours." Amar le'echad mehen, he says to one of them, Shvur shein lecha biyadi b'kadim shum esiyad gezal aveda. He gets very specific. I don't have, I take a shvur that I don't have of yours, any of those items, a gezal shum esiyad gezal, a p'kadim shum esiyad gezal or aveda. And then he says, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha. He says to the other four people, nor you, nor you, nor you, nor you. Ma, what's the din? Achad mechayiv, odilma, akol chad v'chad mechayiv. Do we say he's only chayiv on the pratim for the first guy, right? Or do we say, right, if you look at Rashi at the bottom, achad mechayiv, akol chad v'chad mehanach pasrai, tevelo lecha dekamar, lavar pratim v'kam sumisiyad kai, ve'in kan ele ches chata'os. So he's going to be chayiv a total of 8 chata'os. Why? 4 to the original guy, and then 1 to each additional guy, because it's just one general statement to each additional guy. Or maybe no, maybe it's a kol chadav chadav mechayiv. The v'lalucha is saying, yeah, and whatever I said to that guy should also apply to you, which would mean all the specifics should apply to you. And then you're going to be chayiv 5 times 4, you're going to be chayiv 20. So tashma, detani Rebbe Chiya, harei kan esrim chataos. Rebbe Chiya says that you have 20 chataos, hechidami. So what's the case? E deparish, Rebbe Chiya, minan ha'asalash minan. If you said specifically to each person, pikadon shumasiyad gezal aveda. So Rebbe Chiya is giving us a class in basic mathematics, a third grade arithmetic class. No, that Rabbi Chiya is not just adding numbers for us, so it must be coming to teach us a chiddush and din. So what's the chiddush and din? Elav delo parish, shma min haprata avi. So you see, the chiddush and din is that even though you didn't say explicitly to guys 2 through 5 that you didn't list explicitly all the things that you don't owe them, still it's going to be considered prata avi because the velo lecha seems to be going on the entire original statement. So that's the so that's what you see from Rabbi Chiya. I don't know why we can't just say that the Chiddush of Rabbi Chiya is about what we said before. Whether you're chayiv for the meaning of Rabbi Chiya, by giving a number, is telling us whether you're chayiv for the general Shvuah statement also, or you're only chayiv separately for saying Gezel, Pikadon, Sumasiyad, Aveda. So I don't know why that can't be the Chiddush of Rabbi Chiya. I didn't have a chance to look around, see if anyone asks it. Okay, but anyway, the Gemara is assuming the only Chiddush of Rabbi Chiya must be if you didn't get specific with men 2 through 5. Anasu petitas biti. We had a discussion in our Mishnah. If someone says, you raped or seduced my daughter, right? This was already toward the end of the Mishnah. Anasu petitas biti. So, and the guy says, no, I didn't. And he makes him take a shvua. So, the Tanakhama says, chayiv, Rabbi Shimon says, pater. Because knas is something that you're not mishalim al piatzmo. So, what's the machlokas really about between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Chiya? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chiya baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. My time is Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon say that you're pater in this case for shvua sabikadon? Hol the ikar knas hu taveya. He says, because primarily what the guy is claiming from you is knas. His main tviya is on the knas. And even though there is a boshes begam payment as well, which is mamon, is not knas, and when he denies it, he's really denying boshes begam also. But since primarily it's about knas, this is considered a shvus apikadon on knas, and you're not chayiv shvus apikadon on knas. Amr Rav, a mashal to Rabbi Shimon, the Ma'adav Adoma. Rabbi Shimon, if you had to give a mashal for Rabbi Shimon Shita, it would be the following. La'adam shamar l'chaver, otein l'chitin sarin v'kusmin sheish l'biyadcha. Someone comes to his friend and says, give me chitin sarin and kusmin that you owe me. Amr lo, and he says, shvo shein l'cha biyadi chitin. Now, I swear I don't owe you chitin. V'shtakach t'chitin v'delasle yasarin v'kusmin yislay. And it turns out, yeah, he didn't owe him chitin, but he did have sarin v'kusmin that belonged to him. Depater, he's going to be pater to chishtava chitin akushta mishtava, because when he swore about chitin, he swore the truth. So here as well, anasa petita zbiti. So you're saying that you're chayiv knas and boshas and begam. The guy says lo nasi, meaning I'm not chayiv knas. So it's true because knas is something that shvus abikadon you're never going to be chayiv for because it happens to be because it's not something that you're mishalim al piatzmo. So are you then going to be mechayiv for the other things? So amalei abayim mi dami. No, how do you compare those two cases? One has got nothing to do with the other. Hasam b'chitim kakafalei b'sarim kusman lo kakafalei. Over there, in that case that you gave, the mashal case that you gave, a guy asks for chitin sarim kusman. I deny the chitin. I never deny the sarim kusman. When you tell somebody that when Reuven says to Shimon, you raped my daughter, Reuven is saying to Shimon, you owe me everything. And when Shimon says, no, I didn't rape your daughter, he's not saying, I only don't owe you knas, but I owe you the boshes of begam. He's saying, I owe you nothing. I don't owe you knas or boshes of begam. I did nothing to your daughter. Over here, Shimon's denying the whole thing. Says Gemara, halodamia, elolomer chaver, ten lichitim, esorim, v'kosmin. If you want a mashal, here's your mashal. Someone comes over and says, Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you owe me chitim, esorim, v'kosmin, sheish li biyadcha. Shua shein lecha biyadi, Shimon says, no, I swear I don't have it. Klal, v'yishtakach chitinu, yesh chabi yadi klal, I have nothing of yours. V'yishtakach chitinu delaslay, asorim v'kusmin islay. He never said specifically what he doesn't have, he just says, I don't have anything. And it turns out that he doesn't have chitin, but he does have sorin v'kusmin. But guess what? In that case, you're chayiv. You're chayiv for shvus v'gun in that case. So now it's a kashan Rabbi Shimon. A man says, anastu petitas biti, he's saying, you owe me knas and boshes and begam. Lo anasti, I don't owe you anything. And it turns out that he really did do it, and he really owes him boshes begam. Why should he be potter? So the kiyasa ravnam Rabbi Yochanan, divrei Rabbi Shimon, knasu tovea v'lo boshes begam. The divrei chacham af boshes begam hu tovea. No, the issue is when Reuven says Shimon, you raped my daughter. What's Reuven interested in collecting? Is Reuven thinking in his mind, I want everything. I want knas, boshes, and begam. Or is Reuven thinking in his mind, really, I want knas. Look, if there's boshes begam, I'm not going to turn it down. But that's not what I'm making the claim for. I'm making the claim for the knas payment. So if it's all about the knas, then when the person denies it, he's not going to be chayiv shvus b'kadam, because on a knas, you're not chayiv shvus b'kadam. But if it's also about the boshes of begam, then he can be chayiv shvus b'kadam. So b'maka mifli, what's the root of this machlokes? What are they arguing about? Amr Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Rav Shimon Sovel, lo shavak inish midid kit, v'tav midid lo kit. If I have an opportunity to collect a known amount of money, how much is boshes? How much is begam? Who knows? It's very slippery. It's very difficult to measure exactly what boshes and begam are. Knas? That's defined. That I know exactly what the penalty is. So what am I going to go after? I'm going to go after the known amount. I'm going to go after what I know I can get. For Rabbanan Savi, lo shavik midi dechimodu be'lo miftar, v'tav midi dechimodu be'miftar. If I know that I can either go after something that even if you admit that you owe me, you're still going to have to pay it. So no matter what, you're going to have to pay it. Or I can go after something that you can easily get out of by just saying, you're right, I owe it to you. And then you're not going to have to pay it. So obviously, I'm going to go after the money, according to Rabbanan, it's obvious at least. I'm going to go after the money that I'm going to be able to get under any circumstances, no matter what, even if you choose to be moda. Okay, so Hadron Lach Shvasa Bekadim. That's the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. So Hadron Lach Shvasa Bekadim. Very short parak. Now we move on to Shvasa Dayanim. Shvasa Dayanim is like in a whole separate category. Then we had comparisons between Shvasa Bekadim and Shvasa Eidos, right? We assume that the Torah linked to the two parashios. Shvasa Dayanim is a totally separate category. What is the definition of Shvasa Dayanim? It's any Shvua Da'oraisa, well, any Shvua, let's say, that Beis Din can force you to take. Now, Shvuos HaDayanim Mida'oraisa, there are three Shvuos HaDayanim Mida'oraisa. There's Moda B'miktas. Reuven says, Shimon, you owe me $100. Shimon says, no, I only owe you 50. So he's chayiv to take a Shvua to be pater from the other 50. Shimon has to take a Shvua to be pater from the other 50. There's Shvua of an Eid Echad Kenegda, that when you have an Eid Echad that says that Shimon owes Reuven $100, so he has to take a Shvua that he does not owe him the money, right? That's also Shvua D'Oraisa. So there's a Shvua of a Shomer, for a Shomer to be, that a Shomer says that an onus happened, and therefore it's not his fault, he's not going to be chayiv. So he takes a Shvua that in fact what he claims happened did happen, and then he's going to get off the hook, he's going to be pater. Or you'll notice the common theme of all Shvuos D'Oraisa is that they're all Nishba V'Niftar. They're all a Shvua to get out of having to pay. None of them are Nishba in V'Notlin. There are Shvuos D'Rabbanan that are Nishba in V'Notlin. Right, but Shvuos HaDayanim Midoraisa are all Nishba V'Niftar. So our parak primarily is going to be about the first one, Shvuos Moda B'Miktsas, the Shvuos D'Oraisa of Moda B'Miktsas HaTayna. So says the Mishnah, Shvuos HaDayanim. Now let's talk about Shvuos HaDayanim. So right away, now you'd expect, if it were to follow the pattern of the previous Mishnah, you'd expect to say, okay, men, women, Rechokim, Krovim, Psulim, right? Who's included? Because that's what the previous Mishnahs have spoken about. So says Tosos, that doesn't appear over here. Why not? Hadalana nakat no heges ba nashim u b'nashim k'tznan la'el gabi pikadon mishum demilsa de pshita. He says it's obvious over here that this is the kind of thing. Monetary disputes are no boundaries in terms of family and in terms of gender. Obviously, it can apply to anybody and everybody. But by pikadon also, the idea that someone owes me money because I gave him a pikadon or because he stole something, that also knows no boundaries. He says, yeah, but by pikadon, we know that we link shvosa pikadon to shvosa edus. So that's why we need to say by pikadon what the din would be. But over here, by shvosa dinim, there's no havamina to limit it in any way. Obviously, it applies to everybody, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't even have to spell that out. So shvosa dinim atainish tekesav aldoshav pruta. In order for one to be chayav from other mitzvahs, the claim against the person has to be at least shtei kesef, and his hoda'ah has to be at least a shavu pruta. He has to admit to owing at least a shavu pruta. Meaning, if Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you owe me $100, and Shimon says, I owe you a chatzi pruta, right, half of a pruta, he's not going to be chayav shvus modem mitzvahs. The hoda'ah needs to be a shavu pruta, and the tain has to be at least shtei kesef. Now, there's going to be a discussion in the Gemara what that means. Does that mean that the taina has to be shtei kesef more than the hoda'ah was? Or the taina in total has to be shtei kesef? Meaning, let's say Shimon acknowledges owing $50. Does the taina therefore have to be at least $50 plus shtei kesef? Or the taina could be 51 kesefs, let's say. Right? That would be the taina. So that's a major machlokas in the Gemara. V'yimeina hodaa mimina taina pater. Also, the hodaa has to be mimina taina. If I say, you owe me, you took 50 CDs from me, and you say, no, I only took 2 pieces of chicken from you. So those are 2 totally different things, and that's not considered a modem b'miksa. It's not mimina taina. So ketzad, we'll give examples. Shtei kesef li biyadcha. You owe me shtei kesef. Ein lecha biyadi el pruta. No, I only owe you a pruta. Pater. He's going to be pater. Shtei kesef pruta li biyadcha. Because after all, you don't have it sounds from the Mishnah, right, that the Mishnah is assuming that you don't have the additional. He's not asking for shtei kesef more than a pruta. Shtei kesef pruta li biyadcha. You owe me shtei kesef plus a pruta. Or it could be that that's a minatina thing. That he's saying, you owe me shtei kesef silver. The guy says, no, I owe you copper. I owe you pruta. Pruta is made out of copper. Right? So therefore, he's going to be pater. Shtei kesef upruta li biyadcha. But if he says, you owe me shtei kesef and a pruta, silver and copper. Ein lecha biyadi ala pruta. No, I only owe you copper. Chayiv. That's going to be chayiv, because that's at least me minatina partially. Mana li biyadcha. Ein lecha biyadi pater. If someone says, you owe me $100, he says, no, I don't owe you anything. So then he's pater, because he wasn't owed anything. Mana li biyadcha. Ein lecha biyadi ala chamishim dinar chayiv. But if he says, you owe me $100, he says, no, I only owe you 50, that's going to be a case of chayiv. Mana la avu biyadcha. Ein lecha biyadi ala nun dinar pater. If he says, you owe my father $100, he says, no, I only owed your father $50, he's going to be pater in that case. Why? Because you say, I owed it to your father, I could deny the whole thing, you would never know the difference. What are you involved in your father's business affairs? Right? It's not even the mayor's pun of Bifnei Balchova, but Bifnei is son, no problem. I could deny the whole thing. So therefore it's considered like a Mesha Vaveda by admitting anything, and therefore Pater. So he says, you owe me $100, he says, you're absolutely right, I do. Next day he says, give it to me. Nasatavach says, what do you mean? I already gave it to you last night. Pater. But if he says, no, I don't have it, now he denies what he said previously, chayev, then he's going to be chayev. He says, oh, you admitted it? Okay, you can only pay it back with edim from now on. And the next day he says, give it to me, and the guy says, what do you mean I already gave it to you last night? Chayev. Now he's going to be chayev, because he didn't fulfill the conditions. He's supposed to give it with edim. You owe me a litra zav, I only owe you a litra kesef, potter. It's not me minatayne. You asked for gold, I admitted silver. But when we're just talking about different currencies, so I asked you for paper, I told you owe me a dollar, you said you owe me a quarter, you're not going to say that that's not me minataina, because one is metal and one is paper. No, when you're talking about within a currency, so then it's all considered kol min matbea achas, it's considered me minataina. You owe me tvua, I only owe you kitness, pater. So then he's going to be pater because it's not me minataina. Kor peros li biyadcha. You just say a general terminology of peros. You owe me peros. Ein lecha biyadi alesach kitnis. I say, no, I only owe you beans. Chayiv. Sha kitnis bechal peros. Kitnis is a type of peros. Tanu chitin vod lo besaron. If he claims chitin and he admits saoron. Pater. Ram Gamliel mechayiv. Ram Gamliel says, no, that's going to be chayiv. That's close enough, chitin and saoron. Hatoyin lechaver bekadei shem vod lo bekankanin. Someone says, you owe me barrels of oil. And I say, no, I owe you jugs of oil. Admon omer hol vahod lo mitzas mimena tain yishava. Admon's going to say, that's a modem mitzvahs mimina taina, so he swears. No, he asked him for barrels and he said he owes him jugs. Those are two separate things. Amram umliel ro'an is the riadmon. Admon makes more sense because these are barrels of oil and jugs of oil. So it is mimina taina. Tanu kelim v'karkos v'hod v'kelim v'kafu v'karkos. If he asks for kelim and karka and the guy is mod on the kelim, is kafu on the karka, v'karkos v'kafu v'kelim, or vice versa, potter. Because there's no mod mitzvahs on karka. So you need to have the hoda'a and the kfira on non-karka items. Hoda b'mitzvahs ha-karkaos, potter. If he's mod partially on the karkaos, he's potter, because the hoda'a was only on karka. B'mitzvahs ha-kelim, but if he's mod on mitzvahs of the kelim, and he's kofar on mitzvahs of the kelim, then he's going to be chayiv. And he's going to be chayiv to swear even about the karka then. Because once you're swearing on the kelim, which you are chayiv v'shuvos mod b'mitzvahs for, you're going to have to swear on the karka as well. You don't swear on a tainan made by a chereshot of a katan, and you can't make a katan swear either. But we swear to a katan and to hagdish. The Gemara obviously will explain what in the world that last line means. Okay? Tomorrow.